have a doubleheader parsha this week, Nitzavim and Vayelech. So we're going to begin our study this morning in what might some years be the fourth reading, but actually this year it's the second reading, in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. The reading opens with Moshe Rabbeinu saying, so when all these things happened to you, meaning when you abandon Hashem and things don't go well, and all of these blessings and curses, they're going to reach you, and so on and so forth. And then, after that, starting from verse 2, Pasuk Beis Veshavta Ad Hashem Alekecha. Then you will return to the Lord your God. Veshomata Bekoyle. You will listen to His voice. Kechoyle Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, in keeping with all that I command you today. Ata Uvonecha. This is a generational thing. You and your children, v'chol levavcha, with your entire heart, or v'chol nafshecha, and with all your soul. So a question that we might ask is, when we say that we are going to return to Hashem, and only after it says you return to Hashem, only then does it say v'shomaita b'koili, only then does it say you will listen to His voice. But wouldn't returning to Hashem necessitate listening to Hashem's voice? Wouldn't tshuva mean that you're doing the right thing? That's a question. And the other question is why we emphasize here b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. So it's interesting that Rashi doesn't feel a need to comment. And perhaps what we're going to say now is self-understood. Maybe this is, for Rashi, you're supposed to figure this out by yourself. But anyway, here's what the Sefarno says. He says, "B'chol levavcha" means with certitude. When, you know, it's in your heart. You have no doubt about this. You're absolutely 100% committed. You're 100% certain. The Kli Yakar says, it is possible that a Yid did not yet do tshuva b'poil, which means that the full requirement of return and the full requirement of tshuva, of what's mistranslated as repentance, has not yet been exhausted. Because the full requirement is that a person will mend his ways. And all of the things you did wrong, you're going to actively take steps to right. And all of the bad behavior that a person may have engaged in, not only he fully regrets it, but eventually resolves never to go back and do that again. And it's possible, says the Kli Yakar, that a person should begin with a feeling in the heart. It begins in the heart. And in his heart, you know, somebody say, in my heart, I'm committed. In my heart, this is who I am and this is who I want to be. I have to get there. I have to fill in the details. It often happens that when people start returning to Hashem, people start to embrace their Judaism again. It's very difficult to overnight become a perfect Jew. I don't know if any of us could ever be really perfect Jews. We struggle. We're not tzaddikim. We're not necessarily going to be absolutely 100% on the mark every time. However, it is distinctly and eminently possible that we have a good feeling in the heart. We want to do this. We promise to do this. And we start to do it. It starts with the heart. That's what the Kli Yakar says. That's the meaning of b'chol levavcha. And the Sefarno says, b'chol nafshecha would then mean, if it means with certitude, so he said b'chol nafshecha would mean, because this is the idea that sometimes the nefesh, and the Sefarno explains nefesh in a very unusual way. We have this thing called nefesh ha-mis'aveh, the lusting soul. He says the soul that lusts, the soul that desires to do the wrong thing, would not stop you or not prevent you from doing tshuva. So you have certainty in your heart, you know you want to do this, and the lusts or cravings or desires that usually would knock you off mark are no longer doing so. And that kind of fits very nicely with what the Kli Yakar says, that a person has the right ideas in his heart, he wants to do the right thing, and he's getting there. So you're getting there. The Shavta, you're returning to Hashem, and you're coming back first and foremost in the heart. And I think this is important because our class is going to conclude with a cardiac focus. We're going to talk about the heart at the end of the class. V'shav Hashem alekecha shvuscha. So how does Hashem reciprocate? Hashem returns your captives, v'richamecha, and He has mercy upon you. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol amim. He gathers you in from all the nations, asher hefitzecha, asher melekecha shama, the places that God has dispersed you. This is a very unusual verse for a number of reasons. First of all, what does it mean, v'shav Hashem alikecha? So Unkelus translates it as, v'yashiv es shvi galuscha. He will return your captives. Those who went into captivity, they will come home from captivity. Targum Yenison ben Uziel says, it means he will accept your tshuva. That's the meaning of a shav. That's the meaning that when Hashem, it says, after you come back to Hashem, v'shavta ad Hashem alikecha, so then v'shav Hashem alikecha. It's like you return to Hashem, Hashem returns to you. It's like a meeting. And the Kli Yakar says, he follows this approach. He says it means Hashem will forgive your sins. And that's why the Pasuk starts with Vashav Hashem Alekecha Eshevuscha. Hashem accepts your return. And then it says Vashav Vikibetzcha. Only afterwards does it say that he goes and he gathers you together. And the Kli Yakar says that the meaning of the word Virichamecha is Meloshon Ahava. Because we know Rechimu in Aramaic, it means love. And sometimes the word Richamecha could not mean mercy, but rather can be indicative of love. And he says this is because tshuva is a marvelous thing. When a Yid returns to Hashem with all his heart, even if not every I is dotted and every T is crossed, but you return with all your heart, it engenders a love back from Hashem. That means we're loving, we're returning to Hashem with love. When you return to Hashem with love, Hashem in turn, reciprocates to us with love. And what happens when you do tshuva me'ahava, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, then what happens is that zedonos nehefchem or nasalek zochias, that the demerits, the bad things done, can become transformed, and they could become as if merits. So this is how we understand. Verse 3 is understood both in a traditional sense of Hashem, the shav, meaning the returnees to Tzion, coming back home to Yerushalayim. And it's also understood more euphemistically, more along the lines of the feelings, the engagement, the recommitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which achieves reciprocity. Let's take a look at Rashi, because Rashi translates this actually, follows Unkelus, not the Yenison ben Uziel, and it's very, very, quite literal here. Of course, the language is difficult. V'shav Hashem alekecha es shavuscha. So Rashi starts off by telling you why it's difficult. In case you're not an expert in grammar, hoyo loy lichtev, it should have said v'heshiv es shavuscha. He would return your captives. But instead of returning you from captivity, it says v'shav Hashem alekecha, which literally means that he will come back. He will return. It should say he'll return you. He'll bring you back. Instead it says he will return. And the question is, why does it say he will return? So Rashi says, Rabbeinu lomdu mikan. Our sages were able to derive from this unusual expression that the Torah uses, shehashchina kaviyachol shiruya im Yisrael b'tzaras galusam. That, as it were, if you will, the Shechina, the divine presence itself, is in galut. God is as if in galut together with us. And God who's in galut together with us returns. So, uchishini galin. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah speaks here about the concept of return or redemption, hichtiv geula la'atzmei, he writes, he inscribes redemption as if for Hashem. It's if Hashem is being redeemed. It's if Hashem is in galus. Now, truth be told, this is a very old idea in the Torah. In fact, 40 years earlier, Moshe Rabbeinu learned this directly from Hashem the first time God spoke to him at the burning bush. What did God say? He said, Eyeh. What does Eyeh mean? He says, Eyeh, I will be with them at all times. A Yid is never alone. Hashem is with him. Hashem is with him. Why should Hashem be in Golos? So just, you know, dissipate the Golos. So we don't understand it. Golos Hashchina is a big mystery to us. But Hashem does put himself in Golos. And when we are in Golos, Hashem suffers together with us. So where was God in the concentration camps? Right in the camps. Suffering together with us. And a Yid is never alone. And therefore, when the Torah speaks of us coming home, when the Torah speaks of us being healed, when the Torah speaks of our pain being mitigated, Hashem says, my pain also is going to be mitigated because I suffer together with you. Va'oid, another way of understanding this is, Yeshleimo, we could say, Shegodol Yom Kibbutz Golias Ubekoshi, that the day of gathering the exiles will be a great, very challenging, a day of great enormity. And it will be a difficult day, as if ki'ilu hu atzma, as if God himself, tzarech li yes oichiz b'yadav mamish ish ish, as if God himself will have to come and hold the hand of each lost Jew, and there's so many of them, and they've become lost in so many different ways. And it's not just going to be simple, it's not just going to be a blow of the shofar and they come running. Hashem's going to have to literally, as it were, hold each one by the hand, to pull him out from his place. Like it is written in the 27th chapter of the prophecies of Isaiah, you will be gathered in. And in the end of times, you'll be gathered one at a time, one at a time. And the Rebbe sometimes used to speak about shluchim who live in remote and distant places, and you pick up a Jew here and a Jew, they're not like in Toronto with, you know, Jews are a dime a dozen, they keep slipping through our fingers. But yeah, until you find a yet, you know. Especially the American shluchim would go out, the young students, these pairs of students would go out, and they go to distant, remote places, and you find a Jew here, you find a Jew over there. The Rebbe would say, atem to look to. One Jew here, you gather another Yid from here. Mm-hmm. This is our job. We have to engage in the messianic process, which means to bring Yidden home. This is what it's about. Tshuva. This is why the Friedrich Rebbe said, la'alta l'tshuva, la'alta l'gula. During the war years, he spoke about tshuva, which should immediately engender redemption. We see, v'shav Hashem l'kecha. We return to Hashem. That's in verse 2. And after v'shavta ad Hashem l'kecha, after we return to Hashem, which begins in our heart, which begins with good feelings, begins a recommitment. And then we follow it with action. V'shamata b'kerli, we're listening to the instructions. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we begin to listen to the instructions, begin to carry out that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. What follows ultimately is the Gula, is the redemption through Mashiach, and Hashem gathering each and every one. Rashi says something rather unusual. He says, I want you to know it's not only the Jewish people returning to their rightful homeland, but the truth is, Af Begoli is Shar HaUmais, even when other nations are going to come back home to their ancestral arenas, to where they originally came from. The world was once a more perfect place, or in keeping with the plan of Hashem, and then it kind of all unraveled. And everything is exilic, everything is confused today. The world is one big arena of great mass confusion, and everything will be undone. And when all of this will be undone, even Sha'ara Umis, even other nations will return to their original ancestral lands. And it says, V'shavti Shvus Moav, whoever Moav is today, Moav will come back to that land. And it doesn't say, V'hishavti. It doesn't say, I'll return. And this is because it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be personally involved in getting all of this done. And now the next verse emphasizes this. Im yiyye nidachecha b'ktzei hashamayim. Euphemism, of course. If the lost person, if that Jew who's pushed away will be like on the edge of the heavens, how could you be on the edge of the heavens? Turning to a space colony? It's a euphemism. It's a poetry. Obviously, there's no edge of the heavens. Heaven doesn't have an edge. The atmosphere is atmospheric. But the euphemistically speaking, somebody could be a b'ktzei hashamayim, and based on what we learn a little bit later when we speak about if the Torah would be in the heavens or across the sea, and the way the Rebbe explains it, that shamayim refers to spirituality. So b'ktzei hashamayim means on the very edge, like almost falling off the edge of spirituality, almost disconnected entirely. A yid doesn't feel any connection. A yid is not doing anything. He's not involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mamash, you know, like just about lost. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if you'll be there, Misham yikabetzcha, from there I will gather you, Hashem alekecha, the Lord God will gather you. Misham yikachecha, from there he will be taken. Tichli Yakar says that the meaning of Misham yikabetzcha, This is literally what's called in the Talmud, kibbutz golius, the ingathering of the exiles. And mishami kachecha, so what does it mean from there he will take you? If this pasuk seems to be redundant, here it says misham yikabetzcha, from there he will gather you. So that's gathering together, that's kibbutz golius. And then it says misham yikachecha, from there he will take you. But if he already gathered you, why would he have to take you? You're already gathered. So the Kliyakar says, along the lines of the theme we started to develop, this refers to somebody who could be not geographically lost, but spiritually lost. V'shami kibetzcha is quite literal, that a Jew will be gathered in from a distant, remote location to come home to Yerushalayim. But then the Jew feels out of place. I'm not part of this. I don't understand it. I have no background. I have no connection. V'shami kachecha, like idea of likuchen, of taking, just like the Kliyakar doesn't say this, but. You know, we talk about marriage, ki yikach ish isha, man takes a woman. Taking doesn't mean, or it says Moshe Rabbeinu took Yehoshua, it doesn't mean he physically manhandled him, took him. It means when you capture somebody with words, with ideas, with sentiments, it means when you're able to fill somebody's mind with fresh imagination and open new vistas, it means to take him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Kli Yakar will take him, l'sayecha b'shmiras mitzvahs, to help you keep mitzvahs. So the Jew feels so uncomfortable, so lost, it's not me. I don't know what this is. Baruch Hu gathers him physically, quite literally from a distant geography, and then opens him up that he should begin to feel a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Yiddishkeit. Ve'aviyach Hashem Elokecha. So Hashem brings each and every one of us in the time of Mashiach El Ha'aretz Asher Yoshua Aveisecha, to the land that our ancestors originally inherited. Ve'yirishta, and we will inherit it. It will become ours all over again. Ve'hitivcha ve'hirbicha me'aveisecha. Hashem will be good to us, and He will be multiply us even more so than our ancestors. What is the meaning of multiplying us even more so? So the Targum Yonison says simple. There'll be more Yidden than ever. Hashem will physically, literally multiply us, and that recalls the promise to Avraham Avinu that your seed, your progeny, will be like the stars of the heaven. But we're not. And in fact, we never were. And we say, well, no, this is going to be. This will be. When Mashiach will come, it will be. So the Targum Yonison says, good, that's what we're talking about here. The Kli Yakar says something very different. He says, remember, we learned earlier already in verse 2 that coming home, b'chol levavcha, right, meant with all your heart. All your heart. It starts in the heart. And then in the next verse, it says, we return to Hashem, right, and then we listening. Like the listening to Hashem's voice almost is coming after the returning. And the Kli Yakar explained that it begins with a feeling in the heart. So he says, at this point, you didn't get everything in order. You don't have all your ducks lined up. All your I's are not dotted. All your T's are not crossed. You didn't become the super Jew that you're supposed to become. You have it in your heart. You want to do this. You have the ratzon, in the language of Chassidus. You have the desire. You want to do this. You feel totally immersed, engaged, involved. Yes, this is me. I want this. I want to claim this. But you didn't get there yet. And you didn't do all the mitzvahs yet. So Hashem is going to be good to you anyway. Hashem is not going to wait till we get everything in order. He's not going to wait till you become a big Talmud Chacham, a big scholar. He's not going to wait to become well-versed in Torah and know every single halacha and do it all exactly right. It takes practice to get everything right. He says, but immediately, Hashem will increase you, me'aveisecha, says the Kli Yakar, from the merit of your ancestors. In other words, if we will be missing the mitzvahs, if something will be incomplete for us, me'aveisecha, from the merit of our ancestors, it will already be given to us. And that's the meaning of the Hebrew Me'aveisecha, which is obviously a drush.
Is every Jew's heart just as responsive?
Is every Jew's heart as responsive? It will be. No, not today, of course not. But it will be. And potentially, yes, but it will be. And here, this brings us, of course, this discussion of the heart, and that's why I shared with you so much of the Kli Yakar's teaching on these verses, because it dovetails beautifully into the final verse that we're going to study today, which is verse 6. The end of the second reading, when the parshiot are conjoined, Umol Hashem Elokecha Eslavavcha. God will, quote, circumcise your heart, the Eslavav Zarecha, and the heart of your progeny, La'ahavas Hashem Elokecha. This circumcision of sorts, this cardiac spiritual surgery, is going to result in love of Hashem. We'll feel this love in a very profound way. B'chol levavcha, with all our heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all our soul, l'man chayecha, in order that we will be able to live. So, obviously the question is, what does it mean when we say that Hashem is going to circumcise the heart? So, both Targum Onkelos and Targum Yonison ben Aziel says that there is something called stupidity of the heart. So what does it mean when somebody behaves stupidly? It's like, were you blind? Did you not see what everybody else saw? Did you not know what everybody else... person behaves foolishly, as if he has in some state of confusion, some kind of obfuscation. We didn't have the clarity. So sometimes there could be, we're in a stupor. Sometimes our heart behaves stupidly. We behave so foolishly. So what'd you do that for? What are you thinking? That person, I don't even know why I sinned. I don't even know why I did that. I didn't even want to do it. You know, like we say on Yom Kippur, in one of the Al-Chetz, Al-Chetz Chatanah B'Yetzahara. A sin we did with the Yetzahara. What, all the other sins we did with the Yetzahara? So the simple answer is that some sins even the Yetzirah himself didn't want to do. We incited the Yetzirah, we brought the Yetzirah upon ourselves. We used the Yetzirah, we made the Yetzirah sin. Yetzirah said, leave me alone, I'm not even interested. No, come. You have to experience this depraved form of pleasure too. You have to have every possible. Okay, said the Yetzirah, if you insist, I'll go along with you. So people could do like really stupid things, and Hashem is going to remove that stupor, that foolishness. Rashi earlier says that the idea of of a circumcision of the heart. He says that there's an arla, a foreskin, is a metaphor. It's a euphemism. So sometimes it encases the heart, just like it encases other parts of the body. So the foreskin of the heart means it's like an enamel, like something that's covering the heart that disables the heart from reacting. A normal heart, a lev basar, a heart of flesh, reacts. You have an emotion. Somebody reaches out to you, you reach out back. Normal sensitivity. And then a person becomes desensitized, doesn't care about something. So this is the meaning of Umala Shemalekecha. And the Ramban very interestingly says something different. He says that the heart is where you have natural desires. Like it says, Ha'ayin Raya, the eye sees, Ha'alev Chaymid. And then the heart craves and lusts. And that's actually where we have to be careful we look, because if you look in the wrong places, you begin to crave and lust things inappropriately. You're supposed to be Shaymir Ha'inayin, you're supposed to watch your eyes, don't look everywhere. It's not appropriate. So the Ramban says that nature is going to be taken away from us. When Mashiach will come, we're not going to have to worry about things we saw that automatically triggered the heart to lust, crave, and desire. Hashem is going to disable that part of the heart. How nice would that be? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about having cravings. You have to worry about inappropriate lust. Hashem will remove that from the heart. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi seems to say, at least earlier, he doesn't say anything here. It's the way the Rebbe taught us. Rashi will never repeat himself. So if he doesn't repeat himself, it's because he's relying on what he said earlier. What Rashi said earlier in Chumash Devarim, in the 10th chapter, about Amalach Shem Lekecha, is that a Yid would have the desensitivity, or the disabler of sensitivity. The heart should be sensitive. The heart should feel. And there's something that's a metaphoric cover of the heart. And that metaphoric concealment or cover would be removed, so that our hearts could respond appropriately. So when a holy time comes and a good time comes, when a need arises, that we respond as a yid should. And very interestingly, so we learned something of what this means. But I want to conclude today's class with a beautiful teaching from the Rebbe that's based on a Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says on these very words, Es Levavcha V'es Levav Zarecha. So the pasuk begins, Umal Hashem Alekecha, that's what God will do. He will do umal. Umal means he will circumcise, he will remove. There's something inappropriate, there's a blockage, he takes that blockage away. It's literally like open heart surgery. Right? Somebody's blocking the arteries, spiritually, metaphorically, euphemistically. So this cardiac idea on a spiritual level is that what does Hashem do? Hashem removes that, and what does he do? What does he take care of? Es levavcha, the es levav. So the Baal HaTurim says, es levavcha, aleph, lamed, V'es, Vav, Lamed, Levavcha, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. What does that spell? Elo. Rosh HaTevis Elo, says the Baal HaTurim. Here we have an allusion to Elo. And he says, Lekach Noagu, that's why it's customary, Lahashkim, to wake up early, Lehispalel Slichais, to recite the Slichais, Me'elul Ve'elech, from Elul onward. And actually, the Sephardic Jews, where the Baal HaTurim lived in Spain, the Sephardic Jews, when did they begin to say Slichot? Rosh Chodesh El, the whole entirety of El. We Ashkenazim take the shortcut over here. We only saw it, was that like a week before, right? Next Shabbat, Shabbos Slichas, we wake up, we're so proud of ourselves that we do it. The first thing Shabbos, we wake up at midnight, just when Halachic Midnight ends. And that Sephardic brother's like, yeah, we've been doing this for 3 weeks already. Like,
we're at the Ohel, we're waking up at midnight?
Well, when we're at the Ohel next week, we're going to be not probably waking up, but having a little Fabrengen, and concluding the Fabrengen at 1 o'clock in the morning with Slichas. Because the Friedrich Rebbe once said that it would be appropriate, the Chassidim would come to Slichas Vakeldik, a little bit wobbly, not a little bit inebriated. So he says, this is Baal HaTurim says, that this verse is alluding to Chodesh Elul. The Rebbe now develops this Baal HaTurim in a marvelous way. He says, guess what? If the first part of the Pasuk is alluding to El, as the Baal HaTurim said, what's the rest of the Pasuk alluding to? Well, the Rebbe says the first part of the pasuk, es levavcha v'es levav zarecha, your heart and the heart of your progeny refers to Elul. So very good. That's what that refers to, the month of Elul. Then what is the next part of the pasuk? La'ahavos Hashem alikecha, so that you will indeed love God. In other words, the circumcision of heart, the spiritual surgery, right? This removal of the blockage. What does it result in? Where does it lead you? What does it take you to? It takes you in the direction of part two, the second half of the verse is La'ahavos Hashem Alekecha, that you should love the Lord your God. B'chol avavcha v'chol nafshcha l'man chayecha. Ah, says the Rebbe. So this is a remez l'chodesh Tishrei. If eslovavcha, eslovav zarecha, the first part of the pasuk speaks about Elul, so then it must be that the second half of the pasuk is speaking about the month of Tishrei. And what is Tishrei about? The Rebbe explains. It says, Alter Rebbe explains to us on Lakut HaTorah, the famous mimer that we've been learning on Shabbos morning, right? The mimer of Anilu Daidi. That Alter Rebbe explains there, HaHevdul ben Avedas Chedesh Tish Elul, LaAvedas HaYam Nerayim Shla'achem Mekein, the distinction between the way we serve Hashem in the month of Elul, and then how things shift when we come to the days of awe, the opening days of the year in Tishrei. And Al-Basis HaKosov, I'm based on the verse Anilu Daidi, and then after Anilu Daidi comes, V'dodi li. B'chodesh Elul is the Aveda of primarily Anila Doidi. Anila Doidi means I reach out to Hashem. I'm yearning. I'm trying to reach and do the right thing. And that's the Aveda of Tshuva, which is exactly what we've been speaking about in these verses. And that's when a Yid comes close to Hashem. The Ilu b'yamim hanerayim, on the days of awe, the Aveda is V'dodi li. Hashem in turn reciprocates. We reach out to Hashem during this month. We're trying to reestablish our connection, to intensify the bond. And what do we get? Hashem responds, V'doidi li. So then he in turn reaches out to us. And this is his galus, malchusish l'kodesh baruch hu la'odom. As the Alter Rebbe says in the Lakut HaTorah, God reveals his majesty to the person, his galus, hanaitas, umakavas, b'lev ha'odom, ha'ava l'beira. This is the revelation that implants within a person's heart that love for Hashem. Exactly what the pasuk says. In other words, the Rebbe finds this thesis of the Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe traces it back to an actual verse based on the Baal HaTorim. The Baal HaTorim says the pasuk that says eslovavcha, the eslovav, your heart and the heart of your progeny. The Rebbe says, amazing. That's Anila Deidi. And then the rest of the pasuk is la'ahavas Hashem alekecha. Oh, that's exactly what happens in the month of Tishrei. And this then is the remez. That's the allusion in the pasuk. Umol Hashem alekecha. Hashem is going to do this. This is a remez. It's levavcha veslavav zavech levav zarecha. Your heart and the heart of your progeny is a remez. Lavedas hatshuva vaslicha. It's the aveda to the return, to the pleading, to the petitioning, to the slichas that we recite. Lahashkim lehispal leslicha. He says, the Baal Turim says, aveda the service, the mode of chedesh elul. But to achieve that love in a full-blown sense, with all your heart and all your soul, that's a remez for Chedesh Tishrei, which in other words means the netiyas ahavas habeda belev ha'adam, Hashem implanting the love of the Creator in the heart of the person. So what does it mean? Now we know exactly what it means. Like the Alter Rebbe says, Melech Basada. Omol Hashem alekecha means that Hashem begins to remove the cover. He makes it easy for us. He removes the barriers. And then if only we respond, we reciprocate to Hashem removing the barriers, and we start to get involved ourselves in Chedesh Elul, then ultimately this brings about La'avas Hashem Alekecha, which just answers a bigger question. If Hashem implants the Ava, what value is it? What value is it? It's like we become just robots. Umol Hashem Alekecha, God made us love Him. La'avas Hashem Alekecha. But no, that's not the pshat. Umol Hashem Alekecha means Hashem makes it easier for us. Like Ramban says, he takes away the natural challenges we would have are removed. But then we still have to respond. There's still the Anila Doidi. So when you take the Baal HaTorim's perspective, as the Rebbe amplifies and elucidates it, this whole pasuk sings off the pages. Now it's so beautiful. So we have happens Hashem Malah Hashem Alekecha. That's the Melech Basada. That's what Hashem becomes so available, makes it easy for us. He takes away, so to speak, the stupidity of the heart. He makes it, I'm right here. Did you see? Then we have to respond. It's the Aveda of the tshuva, the aveda of the slicha, we come close to the Baruch Shalom. Oh, and then when you do that, it's all about kind of like this is a to and fro. There's a constant back and forth here. Hashem makes it easy for us. We reach out, then indeed we achieve. We're able to accomplish an effect. Le'avas Hashem alekecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. And a microcosmically that happens every single year in Tishrei, and we hope that Meretz Hashem is going to be happening in the cosmic and fullest way with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira will be Amenu Amen. Amen.